so glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. Let's stand. And we're glad you're here at Noble today. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord? Bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow.
Hello, there you are. Every knee will bow before him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know the Lion and the Lamb this morning? Praise God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. We pray, God, that your anointing and your blessing would rest upon us, Lord. Rest upon our speaker. Rest upon our worship, Lord. Rest upon each one of us, Lord, today. We thank you, God, that we get to be in your house today, and we rejoice in the Lion and the Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to see you this morning. Pastor Phil is home with Lily today. She is not feeling well, so we want to keep them in prayer here in just a little bit. But we welcome you today. If you're a guest with us, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. Just fill that out and put it in the offering here in just a moment. If you're watching online, we welcome you. Thank you for being here with us today. There are several announcements in your bulletin. Just take a look at that. One especially is Sister Boykin is turning 94. And so her address there is in the bulletin. Also, Sister Gherkin, Brother Gherkin's mom, Jessie Gherkin, is turning 90 on Friday. And so if you want to wish her a happy birthday, you can contact Brother Gherkin and find out how to get a hold of her and send her a card or give them a card to give to her. And so we're just so glad that each of you are here today. Today, Ruth Mundon is in heaven. She passed away on Friday morning, and so we just want to pray for Ansel that the Lord would be with him. It's they were married for almost 70 years, 69 years they've been married, and so it's a bittersweet day for Ansel and their family. You know, they're rejoicing that mom is with the Lord, but it's hard when that loved one is gone. So just keep them in your prayers. But what I wanted to mention, we'll pray for them here in just a little while after the worship. But there will be a visitation time for Ruth at McMahon's funeral home there on 8th and McGuire on Tuesday from 5 to 7. So Tuesday from 5 to 7 will be a visitation time, and Ansel and the family will be there. But there will not be a memorial service. There is only going to be a gravesite, and it will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday there in Gainesville at the Callowsburg Cemetery. And so it'll just be a gravesite, and so we will be doing that. But just want to mention those two things. And at this time, if our ushers would come, we'll wait upon you for our morning tithes and offering. Amen. Praise God. At the conclusion of the service this morning, we will have a special offering for our guest who is going to be ministering today, our guest missionary who's with us. And so keep that in mind as well. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, today for this time that we can honor you with our giving. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. And we know that you are blessed to bless us in order for us to bless others. And we just thank you, Lord, that when we are obedient to you, you said you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us when we honor you with the first fruits of all that you give us. And so today we just praise you and thank you for giving us what we can give back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our team is going to come back and lead us in worship.
thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. God, no matter what I do, Lord Jesus, I am your child. God, you said it, and I believe it, Jesus. God, and I just want to make room for you this morning, God. I want you to have your way in my life, Jesus. I want you to do whatever it is that you want to do through me, Jesus, and in me, God. I know that there are areas in my own life that I need to give up to you, Jesus. And God, I just ask that you just come and, Lord Jesus, just change me, God. Just make me who you want me to be, Jesus. Because I'm your child and I belong to you, God. I praise you and I glorify your name, Jesus.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Chasing now,
This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Surrender to you this morning. God, that you would have your way, Jesus. I surrender to you today, Jesus. God, I hunger and thirst for you today, Jesus. God, I'm not waiting for you, Jesus. I'm not waiting anymore, God. I am going to chase after you, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do, God, to hear from you, Jesus. God, I'm not gonna let down, Lord Jesus. I'm gonna keep chasing after you, Jesus. Whatever it takes, God, to have more of you in my life, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. We have a whole nother new year, Lord Jesus, to gain wisdom from you, Lord Jesus, and to learn who we are in you, Jesus. And I praise you, God, and I give you glory, Jesus. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus.
No!
Said earlier, pray for the Munden family that the Lord would give them comfort. Also, Benita Carlin's father-in-law passed away, and his service will be tomorrow afternoon. So let's remember the Carlin family. Bobby Saul Frank's sister Jeffy passed away yesterday, and so we want to pray for their family. Also, a classmate of mine passed away, a guy that was probably one of my best friends in high school passed away. His funeral is this week, and so keep him, his family, in your prayers. Mentioned Lily. Let's pray for her today. She will feel the touch of the Lord. Gil Archer and Tina Archer need our prayers, and Shirley Grindstaff needs a touch in her body as well. So, hallelujah. We need him, don't we? We need him. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you as a church body in behalf of those who need your touch, who need your peace, who need your comfort. We pray, Father God, that you would be with the Munden family. I pray that you would especially be with Ansel. I pray that you would just touch him and their three sons and their daughter, Lord. We just pray for Bonita Carlin's family. We just thank you, Lord, for your help and your comfort that is given to them during this time. We pray, Father God, for the Saul Frank family. We just pray that you would just touch and comfort them as well. Also for the Lida family, we just pray and your comfort over them. And Zach Alton's family, as we had his mom and dad's service here yesterday, we continue to pray for comfort for them. We pray that you would touch Lily today. I pray that you would just bring healing to her body. Gil and Tina, we just pray for them this morning. We just ask that you just minister to their need. And Father, touch Shirley, we pray. Heal her body, Lord. And I know there's many, many other needs. Those who are sick, those who have the virus, Lord, we know of those. We just pray that you would just bring healing and help to each one. We pray, Father God, your will be done in our country. We pray for the United States of America and our president, our leaders. We pray, Father God, for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, for your church to be empowered and on fire and inspired by your Holy Spirit as we go forth in this world. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you for being here this morning. It's truly a delight today to have Michael Kopic with us. Michael and his wife Candace are going to the Seattle area to plant a church. And so we need to pray for them. That would be a tough area, in my opinion, to go and plant a church. But you know what? The Lord can handle tough situations, can't he? And if that's where he's calling you, you better go. And so I've been looking forward to this service to hear about their vision. And they had a sick little girl this morning, and so Candace was not able to be here because she is home with her. But I'm going to let Michael tell you more about his family and their mission and just speak to us this morning. So open your hearts to Michael Kopic and his call upon the Lord.
It is truly, truly an honor to be here today. Unfortunately, my wife, who wanted to be here, couldn't be here today. Our little girl was having the sniffles yesterday, and so we were like, yeah, we'll just keep her home and and then I'll just take my son. My son's in the nursery. And thank you guys for your nursery workers. They were very helpful, and I'm very appreciative for them, especially as a guest today. So the Seattle, I love it how your pastor talked about how it's a hard area. I'm just thankful that we serve a big God. And I've read the Bible a few times through, and I realize that if God can handle those people, then what is Seattle? what is the Seattle area? So on the screen here, you have a picture of my family from last Easter. My oldest, it just turned 2, 2 days ago. And she is very into Minnie Mouse and all things Minnie Mouse. So she'll run around and she'll say Daddy, Mama, Bubba, and Minnie, over and over and over. It's a continuous loop. I'm trying to find the record to play something else, but currently that's what she's looping around. And my son, who is, and that picture was probably, month and a half, 2 months, will be turning 1 this March. So we have a very young family, and so as a young father, I think one of the rites of passage is you have to buy New Balance shoes. So that's what I'm wearing today. I am rocking my dad's shoes. And so, but the reason that God has led us to the Seattle area, it's a bit of a journey. It started with me whenever God called me to the ministry. I went to the Assemblies of God youth camp over, at the time it was at Turner Falls, and God just changed my life. I was 9 years old, and I had the atypical camp experience of saved the first night, baptized in the Holy Spirit on Wednesday, and by Thursday you're called into ministry, literally the whole way through. And from there, God wouldn't let the call of ministry just slip from me. I have 2 parents that are engineers. My dad's probably the most practical man I have ever met, the most pragmatic man I have ever met. And the thing is the call of ministry. And I would say, okay, engineer, parents are engineers. Maybe I want to do engineering myself, go to Oklahoma State and study engineering. Not that other school in Norman, but that's a whole nother subject. Except for football, but that's besides the point. You guys are really good at football. I thought about that for years, but the Holy Spirit would not let the call of ministry just slip from me. It would always come around when I would spend time with God. He would always stir that within me. So I went to Old Roberts University to study ministry, and I took a church planting class. My professor planted a church in the Tulsa area. So I was learning from him about his story and about the process of taking to plant a church, and the Holy Spirit just stirred something within me. And the thing is I knew it wasn't immediate in my life, but I knew God had that plan laid out for me. And so God opened the door for me to be a part of Chi Alpha Campus Ministry for 5 years. Did my internship in Louisiana, did 2 years at UCO in Edmond, and then 3 years as the men's pastor at the University of Tulsa in the Tulsa area, Chi Alpha. And it was such an honor because every season that God placed me, he changed me and molded me, and he developed me in those time periods. And when I was at the, when I was doing college ministry with Chi Alpha, he put something in my heart to love secular people. To love people who think postmodernly, which it's not a term, postmodern is a philosophy term that's not commonly used, but who doesn't have a grasp on absolute truth. And so personal truth becomes the standard. And there are people all around the United States who has that as their foundation, which is sad because it's an eroding foundation, but they'll soon figure that out. And that's part of the reason why the gospel is so wonderful, that it more than just fixes their foundation, gives them a new foundation to build their lives upon. And so it broke my heart to see that kind of life laid out, and God just put a love for those type of people. And so that's part of the reason why We're going to the Pacific Northwest. The other part of it is my wife. My wife, who is absolutely incredible. She went to college. She grew up in the Oklahoma City area. She went to college in Southern California, and then she went to did her master's in counseling in the San Francisco Bay Area. So she loves the West Coast. She is a West Coast girl all the way through. And so from there, she got involved with, at every point, she's always been involved either with young churches or with church plants on the ground floor. And so church planting was always at her heart. And so after she finished her master's, she almost moved to Seattle to move up there. But the Holy Spirit told her to come to Oklahoma City. And and the way that she would put it is, I have something for you. And I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit told her that is because she met me when she moved back. So I'm very thankful. So she met me. She helps me find things. It's really awesome. And then our two wonderful kids. And so when we were dating, we were praying, and she knew she wouldn't stay in Oklahoma, so she would ask me literally, it was probably not the first question, it was probably the second question, was, I'm not planning to be in Oklahoma, are you? Just cut to the chase, and I'm like, you know what, I'm okay for that. That sounds pretty good. So that's why we're moving to, that's part of the reason why I moved to Seattle. When we transitioned from Chi Alpha, I was praying and say, God, what will this look like? What will this look like, a church for people who are not, more than just that they're far from God, they don't even know that they're far from God. And so when I was praying about what kind of church that would be, God gave me this image of the Titanic. Now, how many of you love the James Cameron movie? There's a reason why it is probably one of the most top grossing films of all time, because it's a beautiful story, but it's also with a tragic ending that just grips your heart. And if you know the story of the Titanic, you know exactly what happened. And so what the Holy Spirit showed me is that we're in a lifeboat, and that we're all in this together. And the thing is not only there are people in lifeboats all around, but there are people floating in the water who don't have long to live. And so it is the job of the people in the lifeboat is to find that place for one more person, to have one arm linked to the other people in the boat in community and one arm linked to the world outside of the boat. And that's what God has called us to do in Seattle, to have one arm in community, one arm in evangelism, one arm with connection and with God and abiding in his presence and with abiding in one another in relationships, but also having the other arm out to pull people into the water until the boat is full, and to send another boat to another area of the water. That is what God has called us. And so what I want to talk to you today is about kind of the first step in that journey. And the thing is that's the story of God's calling, but the thing is, it would have never happened if it wasn't for the first thing that I told you about. I had an encounter with Jesus. And the thing is, it wasn't just a one-time thing, it was a regular thing of encountering with Jesus who held my heart. And the thing is to go from there to love everybody else. But it would have never happened if he didn't grip my heart when I was so young. And the thing is, the church that we're going to call, our church plants, we're calling it Abide Church. Because we truly believe you have to first abide with God and abide with community. And from that security, having one arm in the boat, you can reach the other arm out and love and reach your neighbors. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And I love this passage because, I don't know, I identify with different aspects of the different characters, but more specifically, I identify with one of the sisters. All right. Luke 10. It'll be on the screen, but if you want to choose to open your Bible. I love it how we sometimes I'll listen to sermons and they'll immediately jump into the passage, but you have like half the people trying to open their Bible app or their actual Bibles, and the pastor already starts telling the verse, but they're still looking for it. So I'm going to give you time to look for it. All right, Luke 10, verses 38. As Jesus and his disciples were out of their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care about my sister? Don't you care that my sister had let me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." That definitely sounds like an older sibling who's tattling on their kid. I'm the middle child, so I was definitely the informer to the parents. Verse 42, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things." Verse 42, "But the only thing that is needed, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray right quick. God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the word of God that's been read. God, I pray that we have ears to listen and heart to receive what you have planned for us, that we may go represent you everywhere we go. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we have here is we have two people, Mary, Martha, and I guess, yeah, Jesus is a big part of it. So Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Mary and Martha came to Jesus with two different views, two different things. One is Mary chose to sit next to Jesus, which in that culture would have been scandalous because the only people who sit at the feet of the rabbis are the males in the relationship. So she was breaking gender customs as well as sitting and not working and helping Martha prepare food and prepare lodging and just prepare things around the house. And Martha, on the other hand, was doing culturally what she was supposed to do. She was getting things ready. She was getting the house prepared. But interestingly enough, in that moment, Jesus praised what Mary was doing and not Martha, even though Martha was doing all the good stuff that you would expect. And I identify with Mary because, like, I am a, for the most part, except for some driving, I'm a rule follower. I tend to follow the rules. If I'm supposed to be in the left lane forever, and then you're supposed to, I'll stay in the left lane forever. If the door says do not enter, I won't enter that door. I'll go to the other door. When I'm at Walmart, I will choose to go to the one that says enter here and not in the other door, because they wouldn't have made that marking if it wasn't necessary. It was what was culturally acceptable. But Mary did something that was scandalous in that time period. But Jesus decided to praise that. And that's always perplexed me. Why would Jesus praise something that would be culturally against what is expected? Why was Mary choosing the best thing? And the thing is, as I told you about in the beginning, my calling started with me having an encounter with Jesus. If we want to serve Jesus as the body of Christ, it has to exist at his feet first. Did Jesus reprimand what Martha did? No. Martha was not doing anything bad, like sinful or horrible, but Mary chose the better thing in that moment. And so if we want to take the time, follow Jesus' calling, and follow what he has for us, we have to reflect what Mary did in that moment. Because I think most all of us here today who claim to be followers of Jesus, we want to serve Jesus. We want to serve him in everything that we do. But sometimes our default is what Mary did, work ourselves to death, instead of first spending time at his feet. And from that security of being with him, we go out and do. It's not to say one or the other. We're not a monk on one hand who just sits and prays on the other hand, but on the other end, we're not. But if we just keep doing, as our culture perpetuates, then we will ultimately, we'll not necessarily kill ourselves, but we'll wear ourselves out from just doing. So from the security of being with Jesus comes out of that doing. And that's what he's called us to do. And so to imitate what Mary did in that moment, we have to first surrender our expectations. We have to surrender what may or may not to happen. 2020, I think, if I'm free to say, was kind of a strange year. Was that right, or am I overstepping here? 2020 was an interesting year. And the thing is, there was a lot that I think God could have done through me, but I chose not to do it because of expectations. I have two young kids. My house is never clean. But I think I could have had a friend over and had a meal with them. I think my time was full doing this and that and getting ready to move to Seattle, but I think I could have done more in mentoring people in my life and help them walk in the faith. And the thing is we have our expectations okay, if everything is perfect, then I will do XYZ for God. If everything's right in my own little bubble, then from there I could do XYZ. But no, what Mary did and what Martha should have done is surrender to the expectations of what may be culturally. And then point number two is that Mary found the better. Mary did the better thing in that moment. You have to first surrender your expectations, and then from that moment, you have to surrender the better. You have to do the better. And for Mary in that moment, it was to sit at Jesus' feet. But sometimes, so when I was in college, I was just going through life. I was working at a local Mazio's location, and Mazio's delicious pizza and even better ranch. But from there, I was probably at work, working a part-time job while in college. I was there quite often, many days a week. And I was there working one evening, and when you're around all this food, you get a little hungry. You're around all this food, and you have people who mess up orders on accident, and you have other people who mess up orders on purpose so that there's free food in the back. And so I was working, I just felt a check. I haven't eaten anything all evening, and I just felt a check from the Holy Spirit that says, Michael, I need you to fast. I just need you to fast. And I was like, but I'm hungry. But the Holy Spirit, nevertheless, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, partly because for some reason, in the span of a few days, everywhere I go and look at and whatever, there was always a sermon about fasting. I can't tell you why that was. I know it was the Holy Spirit, but in that moment, there was a lot of messages on fasting from different people that I was hearing about it. And so when I felt that from the Holy Spirit, I'm like, okay, I knew it was him. This is not just something that popped in my head that I want to do. Because I was very hungry and I'm not exactly a petite man. So I enjoy some food. So I started my fasting. So I fasted all evening and I was praying I was praying this, saying, okay, God, why do you want me to fast? And so as I went through the evening, I went to the other, and so it was, I was so hungry by the, probably a couple hours into it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to eat something anyway. So I grabbed a slice of pizza and whatever, and I ate it, and I'm like, oh, this tasted so good. Usually your first meal after a fast is like the best thing ever. But I was kind of indifferent about the consequences, and that was a big issue. In that moment, I did not choose the better, and it played out itself that evening. When one of my fellow coworkers had questions about spiritual things, this coworker may have grown up in church, but never anything consistent, and she was mixing things that she saw somewhere else and mixed it with Christianity, and it was a mess. And I can go in details about the mixing. It's if you ever want to study for yourself, she was mixing the ancient heresy of the church of Gnosticism with Christianity. And some of you may not know what that is. You may have to Google it when you get home. It was a mess. If you ever hear about Gnosticism, it's a mess of the church that about anywhere from the 300s, even like in the 100s, 200s, and 300s Christianity, just really messed up the church. And luckily the church moved out, got rid of that heresy, but every so often it'll come up in new forms in our culture. The devil really doesn't do anything new. He just kind of recycles what he has. And so she took that and she brought it to me. And the thing is instead of approaching my fellow coworker with love and connected with her and then talked it through, I became argumentative. I went point, counterpoint, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, I could see it in her eyes. Whatever friendship that we developed to talk about deeper things was broken in that moment. I just saw it in her eyes that it was done. And the Holy Spirit brought it back to me. That's why I had you fast earlier. That's why I had you fast earlier. And the thing is it messes with me. And the thing is we all have different distractions that pop up in our life. We all have different things that prevents us from wanting to spend time with Jesus in the Bible, or maybe turn on some worship songs and just soak in his presence. And maybe there's some seasons of fasting. Some of you may be doing a fast right now or waiting to possibly Lent of just fasting something. And there are a lot of these distractions that want to take us away, but we have to choose the better because we don't know what lies on the other end of it. Sometimes we don't know the blessings that God has for us from waiting now to the next thing. And what Martha didn't do, Mary did in that moment. She decided to wait and be with Jesus. The other stuff will be there, but waiting and being with Jesus. On my day-to-day life, it looks like my daily devotionals. Do I want to watch that latest Netflix show? Of course I do. I enjoy watching Netflix or television or watching that sports game. But the thing is, if I don't create that rhythm of rest, of being in God's word, of choosing the better, then I will never know what God has for me, and I might have missed because I didn't spend time in his presence. As I talked about this running theme of when you spend time in his presence, everything else flows from it. And the thing is when you're not spending time in his presence, what are you missing out? And then it goes to my third point of when you spend time in his presence and you choose the better, you look for opportunities. In Acts chapter 3, I'm just going to, I had the story in my, and the verses in my slide, but I'll just compress it. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 is a story about Peter and John. They went to the temple, which is very custom in their day. And they saw a beggar on the side of the road who was probably there every single day. But because in Acts chapter 3, if you go back, Jesus ascended in heaven in Acts chapter 1. in Acts chapter 1:8, Jesus told them to go into all the world. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. They received empowerment for mission and to live out and to help live out the Christian walk. And so the best opportunity, so they spent time with Jesus. They spent time in his presence. So Acts chapter 3 came. Someone who they saw every single day, someone who was just around them. Peter and John went to the temple and saw somebody, a beggar, a lame person who was there asking for money because in their culture, that's the only way that that person could live. There was no government assistance. There was nothing like that in society because if they didn't get regular income to take care of themselves and possibly sometimes even their families, they would die. And so them asking for gold and for money was just part of life. But because Peter and John were in his presence, because Peter and John were with Jesus, and because they were with him, they found that security. So they had that one arm in the lifeboat and one arm out. And they told the beggar, "Silver and gold I have not, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." From the security, choosing the better, finding, they found the opportunity for him to be known in their area. Monday morning is coming whether we like it or not. Monday morning's coming. Some of us will be in schools behind a computer screen. Some of us will be at our jobs. And the thing is, when you spend time with Jesus, you surrender your expectations, you take the time and you spend time with him and you choose the better, those opportunities will show up to themselves all of a sudden. They will come left and right that you may have not even imagined. And the thing is every opportunity that will pop up will opportunities so that God will have glory. Also, when I was at college, also when I was working at Mazio's and eating their OK pizza and delicious ranch, I was also, whenever I was not at work, I was listening to a lot of sermons online from a revival services that were coming out of Kansas City at the time. There were regular, like, nightly services, and, like, the Holy Spirit was doing incredible things during that time period. And so I was watching those services online, and I was watching old episodes, new episodes. I would spend hours doing that. I was just interceding and just praying and just being in the moment while I was watching it. And there's a lot to say about technology these days. There's a lot of issues at play, but I am thankful that for online presence, for men and women to watch the services after us, because the Holy Spirit does something special in the moment. But you know what? That means the message is always out there. That means the Holy Spirit could touch someone's heart no matter if they see this message today, tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. The Holy Spirit is still there. He could still work in the hearts of anyone who is listening. And so I was watching those revival services, and the Holy Spirit was stirring up things within me. And so I was at work. I had a fellow coworker. His name was Chuck. That's not his name. It was his nickname that we gave him. I knew him because in high school we were in band together, and band kids are very, it's a very tight-knit group, similar to drama and other stuff where you just kind of just really connect. And so Chuck, he and I, we would hang out. We would talk sometimes after closing. We would close sometimes together, and we would just talk for a long time. And so I just felt the stirring of the Spirit of, like, saying, like, just ask him questions. Hey, what do you think about faith or religion? I would just ask simple questions like that. I wouldn't make it overcomplicated and get him to respond. The one thing about in a postmodern age is there is an ability to accept and ask questions because the other person wants to be heard. There is an opening for questions like never before. So if you ask a genuine question, you're going to get a genuine answer. And that opens the door for them to ask genuine questions, and that relationship will grow. And so he would ask me, and I would ask him questions, what do you think about faith or religion? And he knew I was a Christian. He knew I was studying to be a minister. So it's no surprise to him. I was just asking what his thoughts were. And the thing is, that developed a connection, and we were able to grow, and even in a deeper way in our friendship. And I remember this was probably a few months later. We started this conversations for a while, but a few months later, he came to me. He's like, "Hey, Michael, my uncle, who I told you was a pastor, I decided to get my life right to Christ because I talked to him and I decided to get my life right." And I was super excited. And the thing is it had very little to do with me. It was because I spent time with Jesus and I saw the opening and I walked in. And at the end of the day, it's not about him coming back to Christ was not my doing. I had nothing to do with it. It was all because of Jesus. It was all because of the work of the Spirit working in his life. And the thing is, I would have never saw that opportunity if I wasn't spending regular time with him. If I wasn't abiding in his presence and abiding in community, I would have not seen that opportunity. Sometime later, I was working a pretty long shift. For some reason, the lights at the work in the back part towards the office was just not working, which is good. That was the only part that was not working, because if the lights weren't working in the kitchen, you have to shut the place down. If it wasn't working in the main dining hall, of course, they would have to shut the place down. But it was only not working in that one section next to the office. And so I was there just doing my job, and the boss all day frustrated, trying to figure out what was going on. Outside of calling an electrician, he was just trying to do everything he can so he doesn't have to spend that money. So he was figuring things out, and then I was finishing up my shift. I was sweeping up the floor before I was going to leave, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Why don't you go over to the light switch and pray?" Which, that sounded as weird as I just said it. Like, go over to the light switch and pray for it. So I was like, okay, well, what would it hurt? So it's not working anyway, so praying it doesn't work, it still doesn't work. All right, nothing's lost. So I try to sweep over to the light switch. And so then I just laid my hands on the light switch and I prayed a very simple prayer. God, you know what's going on here. You know the issue. I pray for healing for this light switch and this light system. And the thing is no matter what happens, I don't want the glory from it. I want you to have the glory. I turned off the light and turned it on and it worked. And you know what? It not just freaked me out, but also freaked the entire back staff, all the cooks. The manager got out of his office, what just happened? And I told him, one person saw me over there and was like, "Yeah, Michael, just turn it on." I'm like, no. And I told him, "Hey, I prayed and God was faithful and he turned on the light." And it was awesome. And it was a great opportunity for Jesus to receive glory in that moment. And then the manager, in his sarcastic self, said, "We have a toilet not working. Do you want to pray for the toilet?" The thing is what opportunities do we miss because we don't spend time in his presence? 2020 was an interesting year, and the first part of it, during the initial shutdown across America, it was a very weird time, and people were finding new hobbies, and they realized they still have family members in their household. It was interesting. And the thing is I was reading a lot of posts about, man, I'm spending more time in the scriptures. Man, I'm spending more time in his presence, listening to great worship. And then when the initial lockdown lifted, I looked for those people and see if they were still posting that. And I understand Facebook and Twitter, Instagram is all a perception. It's not actually what's going on. It is in and of itself it's a PR tool. I recognize that, but they stopped posting regular time, their regular daily time in the scriptures anymore. They got so busy with life, they decided to choose the other than the better. And they, what was maybe started in their hearts kind of just got derailed. And so guys, I want to encourage you. 2021 just started. I'm sure some of you have already created the, you had your list of things that you're going to do this year. You probably broke half of them already. You're just waiting out to finish the rest, the leftover part of the month of your gym membership, so you can cancel that membership. But in all reality, we have an opportunity in a new year to start spending time with Jesus. What would happen in this community? And just, I like playing what if games. What if we just took the time on a regular daily basis, multiple times, and doesn't have to be in big ways, we spend time with Jesus. And we spend quality time, not just leftover, but quality time. We make room. I love the songs that we sang today. We have to make room. What if we actually made room and spend quality time with Jesus on a regular basis? And then from there, not just chose the better and surrender our expectations? What if we, in our day-to-day lives, we start saying, God, instead of praying, God, get me through this day, and we start praying, God, what do you have for this day? What do you have for this day? What if we start praying that? And the thing is these situations in our lives that we may have seen every day will start coming up where God can be glorified in that situation. And the thing is, and there are times where I was in that season when I was in college, I was praying, God, when I miss an opportunity, because I know myself enough that I'll probably miss a few. When I miss it, God, give me another chance. God, make it so obvious that there was no way that I'm missing it out of sheer ignorance. I would like, let it be stupidity I miss it and not out of ignorance. And what if we did that? What would Noble look like? What would South Oklahoma City look like? What would our world look like if we decided just to be open and available? I was talking about God's calling, and sometimes we say God's calling is this massive thing that we think that sometimes we communicate to young people or whatever, that you need to have, like, you need to know what you want to do before you go to college. High school students, no one in college knows what they're doing. Just to let you know, they're still trying to figure out for themselves. We think that we're like, when I grow up, when I get this point, I will be like this. I would like to do this X, Y, Z. And we have these grand visions of what we think God's calling is. But if we start in his presence and we start being with him, I don't think we're going to miss anything. If we spend time with him and we get to know his presence, we get to know his voice, then in our world, we're not going to miss a thing. Because God's going to show us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for his name to be known through our world. Alrighty. Let's bow our heads and pray. Anytime that I speak, I always ask two questions. Always two questions. I always ask, what is one thing that God is challenging you to do? It could have been something that I said. It could have been something that Pastor Steve said. It could have been one of the worship songs. What is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? And number two, I call it, who is your one person, but who is the one person that you need to tell about what God told you this week? I truly believe what God does in you, he wants to do through you. So right now, before I, like, as I pray, ask these two questions. What is the Holy Spirit teaching me to do that I need to start doing? And number two, who's the one person that I need to tell this week? Because what God does in you, he wants to do through you. God's blessings are like, is like water. And the thing is we need a cup for it to fill up, but we can't expect God to stop. We don't want, like, you can't expect God to stop at the top, because if he stops at the top, he'll actually stop much less, because what God does in you, he wants to do through you, because he wants the blessings to flow from you to your area and to your circle that God has for you. God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love and your peace that stays with us. And God, we pray for the better. God, we pray that we'll start the better today. If that means going through a year-long Bible by just even listening to 3-4 chapters a day to get through the Bible in a year, if that means just reading one chapter a day, God, if that means instead of listening to what's on the radio or the news or whatever, we put on worship and we just soak in his presence. God, help us to be sheep that recognizes your voice again. And for those who have ignored your voice, God, I pray that you speak louder than ever so that they can hear you once again. And God, I pray from that security that we would see the opportunities around us. And God, I pray that everyone right now will have that one person who needs to hear about the thing that God has told them, that God has taught them today. God, I pray for that one person. That God, I pray that their hearts will be open and receptive to what you're guiding them to do. God, you are so good. You are so faithful even when we're not. And thank you for giving us time and time again to love you and to be with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Michael. Would you just stretch your hands toward Michael right now? Let's just pray for him and his family, and that the Lord would bless them as they follow God's call. Father, as a church, we just stand right now and we lay hands on Michael, and we pray, Father God, that you would continue to guide his steps and his family steps. Lord, we just pray for provision. We pray, Father God, that you would just make the way before them straight. Lord, I pray that you would just take care of every need. I pray your anointing upon him and upon his wife, and as they move to Seattle and they begin to fulfill the call you've placed upon them. Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit just to surround them and empower them. Lord, provide for them. Lord, open the doors that no man can shut, and shut the doors that no man can open. And Lord, we just pray your blessing upon their family right now, that you would use them to do mighty things in your name. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. I don't know about you, but I think he will do just fine in Seattle. He just got that connection, that way about him. I think that he will connect. You know, I just felt that as he was talking. I thought, Lord, you know what you're doing. How many of you know the Lord knows what he's doing? Amen. We just need to be obedient, receptive, and so we want to stand behind them. We want to receive an offering for them. If our ushers would come, if you're making out a check, just make it out to the church. And then on the envelope, put COPPOCK, COPPOCK, so that we will know that he will receive every dollar that is given today. And, you know, as a board, we'll talk about whether we can support them monthly. I know that he has to raise a budget. He doesn't... isn't able to do what he's called to do unless churches like this one and many, many other churches get behind him and say, hey, we support you. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Michael and Candace and their children. We thank you, Lord, for the calling you've placed upon their hearts. And I pray as we give this offering today, Lord, that it would be used, Lord, to put them in the place that you have called them to go. And, Lord, I just pray that you would guide us as a church, Lord, to continue to be open in our own hearts and minds to what you would have us to do in the calling and the mission field we're in, right here in Noble and Norman and Oklahoma City and Moore and Purcell, right in this area, Lord. This is our mission field, as well as to support Michael and people around the world in those places. And so, Father God, bless them all, we pray, and bless this offering. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, worship team, and sing. Would you stand with me? Michael's going to head out to the foyer there. He has some prayer cards. I would encourage you to take one and pray for him. I know that he would appreciate every one of our prayers and praying that the Lord would go before him. And so I wanted to mention that. Thank you for being here today, and may the Lord bless you. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this service this morning. We thank you, God, for letting us continue to hear about your working in people's lives. And we just, with joy, Lord, look forward to what you're doing, not only through Michael and his family, but even in our own lives, God. Help us to realize you have encounters, you have opportunities all around us if we will spend time in your presence so that we will recognize them when they come our way. So, Father God, go with us, we pray. Give us a great day, and, Lord, give us a great service tonight at 6 p.m. as we come back to worship you and hear from you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, and everybody shouted amen. Amen. That was a weak shout. Amen. Amen. There we go.